In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. Two points that are so emphasized and stressed by my Protestant friends when speaking about salvation are by grace and faith alone. Now, obviously quoting or perhaps misquoting Ephesians, St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 to 9, which reads, "For it is by his grace that we have been saved through faith, and this faith was not from you, but it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Now, face value, those two points, yes, we need to emphasize. But here, some say that it's not faith that is the gift, but rather grace, because faith is a self-labor accomplished by self. Well, okay. But I ask, how can faith have saved the Ephesians, the church in Ephesians, unless God had willed to accept them by means of that faith? So you see, it's a work between God and men. And yes, it all goes back to God. Faith, grace, and even deeds. Why? Because if Christ had not come and called the Ephesians and the entire world to faith in him, they would certainly have heard, wouldn't have heard him, and they wouldn't have obeyed him. They wouldn't have obeyed the calling. Hence, St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, "How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" So even faith is from God, because Christ came and preached the one faith, one true faith in God, in himself, and in the Holy Spirit. One thing, though, let's go back to the verse. I'm not sure if you noticed that the word alone does not appear in the verse. So is it being added in these statements to emphasize the emphasis and make a point? Let me read it again. "For it is by his grace that we have been saved through faith, and this faith was not from you, but is the gift of God, through Jesus Christ, not of works, lest anyone should be boast." The word, let's play sola scriptura, the word alone does not appear in the verse. Likewise, just believe and accept Jesus Christ in your heart, and you will be saved. And again, quoting or misquoting maybe Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10, which reads, "If any of you will confess with your mouth our Lord Jesus, and you will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall have life." The word just or accept don't appear in that verse. Once again, as I said, no word, they've been added. Now, when you add to the Holy Scriptures and to the Word of God, can you be held in contempt of Deuteronomy, according to chapter 12, verse 32, which reads, and God commands, "Every word that I command to you, keep it and do. You shall not add upon it, and you shall not subtract from it." Or Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, "Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be proven a liar." Now, them's are warning words. So let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 2 and examine. Notice I said Ephesians chapter 2 and not only verses 8 to 9, because there are 22 verses in that chapter. And we can't come to a conclusion on salvation just by looking at those two or one verse. Let's examine Ephesians chapter 2 and examine and see what it's all about. What is it talking about? Certainly, and as I said, not just one mere verse to come to a conclusion in regards to salvation. What about the rest of the 21 verses? What do we do with those? Or 19 or 20 verses. Before we delve into this, a little info on the church in Ephesus. Ephesus was a coastal city in Asia Minor, nowadays Turkey. And the church was comprised of both former Jews and former Gentiles. Note the word former. That can be simply defined as BC Jews and BC Gentiles. Still guilty, still condemned under the law, according to the law, corrupted, fallen state, sin, and in death. So what St. Paul is doing to the BC Jews and the BC Gentiles in Ephesians chapter 2, he's taking them back to BC before our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ from verses 1 to 3. And we're going to break these verses down. And then what does he do? He brings them to where they are, verses 9 or 4 to 9, after AD. Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. And that's until verse 9. Keeping in mind still, there are still 13 verses we need to continue to read to get the real and true understanding of the message, which pertains to salvation, yes. Let's break it down. And when we do break it down, this is how it plays out. The Ephesians, Jews and Gentiles, were, number one, verse one, dead in trespasses and sins. By choice, not by nature. God created everything good. Those who were Gentiles and non-Jews had the breath of life. They had the law written on their hearts, so their nature was good. So by choice, they were dead in trespasses and in sins. Pay attention. This is before Paul introduces them to being saved. From what? Dead in trespasses and sins, walking in sin, following in the course of the world, verse 2. Again in verse 2, following the prince of the power of the world, that is the devil, the collaborator, the power of the devil, that's what they were following. They had a spirit, a satanic spirit at work in them, as children of disobedience. So the passions of their flesh, including Paul himself, he's saying, we all once lived in this dilemma, in this predicament. They were following the desires of the body and the mind. This is all in verse 2. By nature, they were children of faith. Now, by nature, not that God created their nature corrupt. No, is that by their free will, they brought on the wrath of God. By nature, they were children of wrath. Through their free will, they brought on to themselves the wrath of God. So that's verses 1 to 3. Now comes verse 4, where Paul is talking about the richness of the mercy of God. So they were in that dilemma. They were in that sin. They were in the fallen, corrupted, corruption sin, fallen away from grace, from the presence of God, from the relationship of God. And now Paul wants to tell them that now what God has done to them or done for them, because God did not desire them to perish. Verse 5, they were made alive with Christ. Through Christ, once again, they had been formed anew. And where do they receive this newness of form? In their baptism, because they had baptized. And then Paul goes on to say that they were saved by grace. This all that happened prior BC, before Christ, this was all your doing. And yet God still showed his mercy and God renewed you. God redeemed you through Jesus Christ. Not because you were worthy, because of your deeds. Don't you dare boast, because your deeds were evil. God renewed you by his grace. God raised you from the dead by his grace. God renewed you in baptism by his grace. Romans 6 verses 4 to 5. We were buried with him in baptism into death. For as Jesus the Messiah arose from among the dead in the glory of his Father, in this way also we shall walk in a new life. For if we have been planted as one with him in the likeness of his death in baptism, in this way also we shall be in his resurrection. Don't even boast about the faith, because that too was from God. Because if Jesus had not come, we would not have believed in him and there would have been no faith. And we would still be in that same predicament of the punishment of the law. Oh, holy sacrament, baptism, the mystery of baptism, how you are downplayed, how you are moderated by ignorance. You know, people think baptism is only a sign, is only a symbol. My dear brother, my dear sister, you're being put to death. You are taking part in Christ's death and resurrection through baptism. It's not just a mere symbol. And this, again, not because of what the Ephesians did BC. Again, they were dead in trespasses and sins, walking in sin, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air. But beloved, when Paul claims rightly and rejoices them by the truth that they were saved from their past, this does by no means mean that it has been wrapped up in a little neat package, as they say. And it's done. That's it. There is nothing else you need to do. You can continue sinning. You can live a life according to what you desire because you have been saved by grace. Grace. You know, St. Paul writes to Jude that those who used grace as a license of sin. He's talking about those people who today are claiming that I've been saved by grace, because St. Paul is quoting this or is teaching us this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. Well, we just talked about what St. Paul is talking about. For those who emphasize this cliche, this point that I have been saved by faith alone, deeds have got nothing to do, there is nothing else we need to do, well, be prepared. Stop. Stop everything. Stop everything. One of my sisters messaged me and said, Rabbi, send me a picture of her laying back and saying, I stopped ironing, I think it was, or was it, I stopped washing the dishes. Yes, stop, because now there's going to be a bubble burst. There's going to be a rain on a parade. There's going to be an awakening, polite, loving, caring, gentle, and certainly a correcting. Drum roll, drum roll, drum roll. The Ephesians and you and I today who have received salvation and have received new life in Christ and we are living in Christ, as St. Paul states in Romans chapter 8, therefore there is no fault for those who are in Christ. And some versions have stopped at that point, but no, the true version, because you know what? You know, some of these Bible versions, you know that those authors have also implemented their theology into the translation. And woe, woe, woe to those people. Woe. For there is no fault for those who are in Christ, yet not live according to the flesh. There is no fault, but not living according to the flesh. Do not for 1 minute dare to claim for yourself that you are worthy of what Christ has done to you, and you now do not have to continue or do anything else, because it is by grace. Don't kick back and don't be laxed and don't claim victory yet, beloved. Fight the good fight. We need to continue. You know, it's not a hook, line, and sinker victory. No, no, there's still got to be a fish. You have the hook, you have the line, you have the sinker. We need to continue to fish. And here is the busting of the bubble. Here is the raining on the parade. Read verse 10, please. Read it with me if you have your Bibles opened. He's telling the Ephesians, from the past, from the BC, you have been saved from that now. The punishment has been paid. The debt has been paid. The sacrificial lamb has been slain. The only sacrificial lamb that appeased God, which is Jesus Christ, has been slain. That past is gone. That past has been put. It's a history now. But going on, verse 10. Are you ready? Are you equipped? Here we go. For we are His creation, God's creation, praise and glory be to His name, who are created in Jesus the Messiah, Jesus Christ, for good works. Let me repeat it. For good works, which God has before prepared for us to walk in. There was goodness God had prepared, but we dropped the ball. And we're going to talk about this next episode. Why is it that before this verse, Paul is saying, don't boast about your deeds. Your deeds did nothing for you apart from corrupted you. But here he's telling us, don't betray good deeds now. So which one is it? Well, we'll talk about that next week or next program. Next episode. So we are created for good deeds, but we dropped the ball, beloved. But now, after being saved from the past and remaining in faith in the new life that we have received through baptism, through Jesus Christ, we are also called to doing good deeds. For how long? We'll talk about this next episode. Always keep in mind, faith alone, according to James chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, is dead. Faith alone is dead. There was nothing we had to do to receive Jesus Christ. We did not ask for the Lord to send us the Savior. While we were sinners, Jesus died for us. Amen and praise be to His name. He's resurrected now. Al-Masih qam. Haqqan qam. Christ is risen. Indeed, He is risen. He's risen. But we didn't ask. We weren't worthy. But God, out of the abundance of His love and goodness and mercy and grace, sent His only begotten Son and did not spare Him until the death of Christ on the cross. And we were saved from that everlasting, or we were saved from that punishment of sin and the corruption. But now we have an obligation to the Lord. And we're going to read some verses. Keep this equation in mind. Faith, which means living in the new life with Christ that we have all received in holy baptism, plus good works. No one can debate this now. It's in the verse 10, for good works. So faith that is living in the new life with Christ plus good works times, it's greater, a greater power, right? Faith plus good works, but times the grace of God equals eternal life, eternal everlasting life with Jesus Christ, eternal salvation. Let me give you an example. There is a boy that is drowning. A boy is dying. And I jump into the water and rescue him from the waters. And I resuscitate the boy. And the boy comes back to life, is breathing, and is saved, delivered from that death. Now, what will my suggestions be to the boy? Do you not know how to swim? No. Well, you need to go now. This is what you need to do. I've saved you. To continue to remain in this salvation, you need to go and get some swimming lessons. I would encourage the parents to take the child for swimming lessons. I would then teach the child that when you come to dive into the waters, make sure that you're not in the deep end. Make sure that it is the shallow end. But regardless, if you take your swimming lessons and you can swim, then you can jump into the waters, but be careful where you jump. Now, if the boy does not take heed to what I have suggested, what I have commanded, what I have request and instructed, and the boy jumps one more time into the water, will my first act of salvation save the person's or the boy's life? No, it won't. The boy has to do something to continue to remain in that first salvation that he has received from my goodness that I jump into the water. It is the same. Christ has saved us once and for all from the punishment of the law, from the corruption, from the dead state of man of the law. But then he has also instructed, according to the scriptures, that in order to remain in that relationship, in that salvation, and the benefits of the salvation, and the fruits of the salvation, I must continue with good deeds. One more time. Faith, living in the life or the new life in Christ, plus good works times the grace of God is eternal salvation, eternal life. And for those who debate works, let me read Matthew 16:27. We're going to talk about this more next episode. For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with the holy angels, and then he will repay each man according to his works, deeds. There is a reward. If these are not significant, not important, why are we being rewarded for our deeds? Matthew 25:23. And the master will say, Jesus Christ, well done. Listen to this very carefully. Well done, good and faithful servant. You can't tell me he's talking about faith in both instances. Good means good faith. No, faithful means you're in faith. Well done, good and faithful servant. What does the servant do? He serves the master. He does. He has deeds. He has a service obligation. Well done, good and faithful servant. If goodness was of no avail, why would the Lord not say, well done, faithful servant, come and enter the bliss and the joy of your Father. Praise and glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, now and at all times and forever. Amen.
This week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.